We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We are breaking down all aspects of Yankee baseball. This is the Bronx Pinstripe Show with your hosts, Andrew Rotondi and Scott Reinen. Let's go.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. We've got a special episode for you today. I'm joined by John O'Dell, a Hall of Fame curator. John, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining me.
Hey, thanks very much. I'm looking forward to it.
So this seems like you're living out like a childhood fantasy of a job where you just get to be around cool baseball stuff for a living.
You know, it's even better because I had no idea this job even existed when I was a kid. I could not have imagined it. And so I just loved baseball and had no idea that you could actually get paid to do baseball without having to be a baseball player. And so at the age of 12, when I was no longer able to play baseball, not because I didn't want to, but because, you know, everybody else was better than me, I was like, okay, well, I'll just watch baseball from now on. And I've always enjoyed going to games. And then all of a sudden, boom, I'm in the museum field and find out there's a position at the Baseball Hall of Fame, put in for it, and 20 years later, still here.
Well, so you've been there for 20 years. I'd say,
yeah,
20 of the pretty eventful years in Major League Baseball. Was your first year 2001?
No, actually, 99. So I guess 22 years now.
Okay. So you entered really at the height of the PED era, which is certainly an interesting era to be involved in and sort of look back on.
Right.
We're going to be talking about the Hall of Fame's Connections video series, but I would love to just get your thoughts on looking back at that era, because that's the era that I grew up watching baseball in. I'm 33 years old. So that was like my heyday, is watching all those guys in the late 90s.
And it was, wasn't it tremendous? I mean, it was breathtaking to watch baseball then, and so exciting, and how naive we all were, thinking that, I saw the Mark McGwire commercials of him flexing these monstrous guns with a glass of milk in his hand and going, you know, here's how I do it. And then the crashing down later on when you realize that not everybody was participating on the same level ball field. Certainly has contributed to, I think some of the cynicism around baseball. But let's get away from that and talk about some good old days and some real live cool stuff.
Yeah. And why don't you tell us a little bit about the Hall of Fame Connection series and how this came about, how this was sort of how you got involved with it and what the thinking was in making this video series.
So it began coming out of MLB, contacted the Baseball Hall of Fame, and they were looking for some content. And, we talk about old artifacts all the time. And so they said that we began with the idea of, well, let's come up with some, the curators. And I work with three other curators here at the Hall of Fame. We'll come up with some neat stories about some artifacts. And you've been here before, right?
I have, but I think I was 12 years old when I was there, so I don't know that I fully appreciated it at 12. I would love to get back there.
All right. Well, this is my pitch to you. If I can get you to come up here, maybe we can get some more folks to come up as well. So we were going to talk just about artifacts, and we going back and forth and with MLB, and then one of their guys said, you know, what if there's some less conventional ways of talking about related artifacts? And they came up with the idea of what we ended up calling trains. So there's this path that goes from one artifact that's pretty awesome to another one that seems to be absolutely unrelated. Mm-hmm. And then there's this, with a series of stops so that you go from one artifact to a person to another artifact and person that had a real link, and then to another one that had a real link. And by a real link, I mean, they were there at the same time. They did the same things. It's not just like, oh, this guy hit 3,000, and then across the country, this other guy hit 3,000. It's like anybody can do that. But what we wanted to do is use the artifacts as a way of linking players and artifacts and events together in a way that would take a fan on an unusual ride through baseball history. And so that's kind of how then the juices kind of got started about, oh, well, you know, this guy was on the field when this happened, and this guy was in the opposing dugout when that happened, and this guy caught that foul ball, for an out, and then later hit this home run, that kind of thing. So we just started to create some linkages in baseball and we've got more than 40,000 artifacts here at the Hall. They all have their own stories, and we've got the opportunity to research those. And this was a great opportunity for us to find some new and interesting and different kinds of linkages.
What do you think it is about baseball, more than really any other sport, I think, that allows for that intertwining and weaving of history and memorabilia throughout the years?
Well, a couple of things come to mind, Andrew. One of them is that there's simply a lot of substance out there. There are a lot of items out there, a lot of artifacts out there. There's a lot in museum world, we call it material culture. There's a lot of stuff out there related to baseball. And baseball has been going on for really a long, long time. So things that we can do at the Hall of Fame, and we've been collecting since 1937, 2 years before we opened up, because of course you're going to open up a museum, you got to have something to show. So we've been collecting for a long, long time, and it's just we've had the privilege of being able to pull all of this together, and have had some advantages in that way that our brethren over the Football Hall of Fame and Basketball Hall of Fame just have not had. And you know, with golf, it's like there's drivers and balls, and that's about it. But with baseball, you've got all sorts of cool things that reflect both the player and the team and the fan.
Is there a piece of memorabilia either that you came across when you first started working at the Hall of Fame, or perhaps that you came across when making the video series? Is there one that sort of stopped you in your tracks and you kind of were like, holy crap, I can't believe I'm holding this, or I can't believe this is the bat that Jackie Robinson used, or this is the hat that Mariano Rivera wore? Is there any piece that stands out to you?
You know, there was one that really made me feel like, holy cow, I'm so glad that people have been collecting this for a long time. And it's because it's the Olympics year. And we're going through and trying to find a connection to a fella who had a Major League Baseball player who had helped create the baseball team that went to the 1936 Berlin Olympics. And it turned out that he had been teammates of one of the greatest athletes in American history, Jim Thorpe, who won gold medals in the pentathlon and decathlon back in the 1912 Stockholm Games. And we had the baseball that Jim Thorpe had signed when he went on a tour of England with the New York Giants. And it's like back in 1914. So this was just like, you know, the kinds of things that we go, holy cow, I'm just like, to have an artifact that, you know, that an Olympian has signed, and, you know, an Olympian, not from baseball, but from, well, you know, the greatest athlete in the world in 1912, to have a baseball signed by him and his teammates, which then links up with the fellow who put together the baseball Olympics in 1936, which was the one where, of course, Jackie Robinson's big brother, Mac, ran second to Jesse Owens when Jesse Owens stunned the German nation with 4 gold medals. So that's the kind of linkages that we've started finding over and over again. And it's just so much fun.
Yeah, that's the thing that amazes me. Like, I was watching the video series, and one of the episodes that I know you wanted to talk about, Dirt in the Skirt to Sandman.
Yeah,
it starts with the All-American Girls Professional Baseball League, which started during World War II, when obviously there was still a hunger to watch baseball, but a lot of the players were fighting in World War II, and the Girls Professional League started, and it ends with Mariano Rivera. It's like, how the heck is this going to get there? But just some of the cool, like you said, linkages between playing baseball in Cuba, obviously before that Cuba shut its borders, and Jackie Robinson to Mickey Mantle, since they were crosstown rivals for so many years. So it's just sort of amazing when you peel back the layers, what you can connect throughout baseball history. I think that's, you know, I asked you the question, what is it about baseball that that makes it sort of possible to do all that? And I think it's because it's just the stories that you can connect to player and era to era. You can always find a story or a player that may have played with someone, or like you said, Jackie Robinson's older brother ran in the same Olympic games. Like, who would have thought that? But it happened.
Right. That's it. That's exactly right. And, you know, a couple of things that come to mind as we're talking about this. Baseball players, great baseball players, have longer careers, so they have the opportunity to touch more other players. You know, football just beats the tar out of you, and you know, you get to the end of your career, and you know, it's been 5 years, and you're done. And in baseball, there are guys who, I would imagine, I have to go back and check this, but I will bet that we could find somebody who had 5 years before they even played out all of their rookie eligibility.
Right, right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, the years that it spans, I think, are truly the amazing part. And you can always find like a matchup or something, like he hit his 3,000th hit off of this player, or this player was on base when this happened, or this strikeout came against that, where you can always sort of find those sort of weird quirky things in baseball. And it's always fun when those sorts of things come up throughout the season, because the season is so long as is. Some of the more down moments, it's fun to sort of pick apart those sorts of quirks and coincidences.
That's right. And of course, the ground, the foundation of it all is the record keeping that's been done since day one. And the fact that you can go back and, you know, and see through box scores and through play by plays, all of these things that happened, and you can document, you know, who was it who threw this, and, you know, who did he hit it off of? And the same guy who hit this ball off of this, you know, this hit off of this guy 20 years later got his first hit off of somebody else who was, you know, equally famous. So you just never know where it's going to happen. And the greatest thing about that is, of course, when you go to the ballpark, you're going to see something that you've never seen before. Almost always you'll see something you've never seen before.
Yeah, the record keeping is something that is held in high regard throughout baseball. And I think that's a reason why, to get again, I mentioned the steroid era, but why people are upset about it now is because a lot of those sacred records were broken, or they're looking at the last couple of years with what we're calling the juice ball era. And maybe some other records fell when it might not be in fair standing because of some sort of thing that happened. What do you consider, how do you sort of look at some of those records that have fallen over the years? Do you just sort of look at it you have to put it in each era's context and understand it, or do you hold a certain record in higher regard than others?
So I end up having to using my heart and my head, I do two different things. And so, in my head, I know that, that you can't really look at home runs from today and 50 years ago and 100 years ago and think it's the same thing. It's like the ball players are, just physical specimens. They know what they're doing. They've had 100 years of physics to figure out that, if you just use a big thick handled 40-ounce bat and get the ball over the infield and between the outfielders, that's just not going to produce the kind of game that that works best for the fan today. Home runs are down at the knob, man. You got to be able to swing and rocket that ball. And then I look at the ball itself. I go, what is it that means that makes it so that we can't have a consistent ball from year to year to year? I don't know. Again, sometimes you look at things, you just get a little askance, but the main thing is that when you go to the ballpark, you just get a chance to, honestly, for me, forget some of those things and just enjoy the sheer spectacle of watching men do something at an incredibly high level. And, I grew up watching minor league ball, down in Tidewater, Virginia. And then, my love for baseball was rekindled when I got a chance. I moved to Philadelphia and got a chance to watch, Mike Schmidt and the Philadelphia, Phillies play back in the old Veteran Stadium and climb up to the 700 level and watch just, these guys just do extraordinary, extraordinary things. And it reminded me that there's nothing like baseball.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
How do you, when a new artifact comes in, or how is it decided that a new artifact, that you're going to go out and sort of seek out a new artifact? Because one of the things that you sent me that you have is Aaron Judge's bat from his first big league home run in 2016.
Yeah.
And I was actually in center field. I was standing at the Mohegan Sun Sports Bar. Yep. I was standing at the Mohegan Sun Sports Bar when he hit that home run. It was like 105 degrees at that game. Everyone was miserable there, but we were all excited to watch Aaron Judge, this 6'7" freak that we'd really never seen on a baseball field before. And he hit a home run in his first pitch. And it came right after in his first at-bat. It came right after the Tyler Austin home run in his first at-bat. So they went back to back. So when did you acquire that bat and why did you acquire that bat? Was it later when after Aaron Judge's rookie season happened so it was right away. How was that decision made?
Right away. And we decided that because that was, and let's credit records again. That was the very first time in baseball history that two teammates had gone back to back home runs in their first career at bats.
Mm, okay.
How about that?
Yeah.
So there you go again.
You mentioned you go to the ballpark, you see something that I saw something that I never thought I would see that had never happened before. I saw something that day and you're telling me I didn't realize. Maybe I knew it at the time and I just forgot, but I didn't realize that was the first time that ever happened in baseball history.
Yeah, first time ever. Not just for the Yankees and not just in, you know, the American League. This is the first time and that it had happened in baseball history, Major League Baseball history. And so that's and so when I'll be honest, so I stood on the team with guys and we throughout the year, at the beginning of the season and then monthly through during the season, say, okay, who's approaching a milestone? Who's doing well this year? Who's reaching a record? Who is looking like they may set a rookie record? That kind of thing. So we're constantly, at the beginning of the season, we say, who among our stalwarts is going to be doing something this year that, that will be demonstrating how great they are, Miguel Cabrera, 500 home runs. And so then we begin at the very start of the season, our communications guy is in touch with all 30 teams and says, hey, here's something I want to tee up. It's like, here's something that's going to happen. When that happens, we're going to be in touch, and we're going to be in touch before then. But we're going to be looking for, in the case of somebody hitting 500 home runs, we're going to look for a bat or a helmet or a jersey, something that is hitter-ish related. And so we know what's coming up, but then you got to be nimble. And so when something happens that is, well, first of all, when something happens that you know is going to happen, but you have no idea where or when, and that's a no-hitter or a guy hitting four home runs in a game. It's like whenever that happens, we have a standard package. We reach out to the communications guys and say, hey, we'd like to get X, Y, or Z. But then sometimes something happens and it's just the first time ever. And we'll get on, text with one another and go, hey, what do you think? Does this sound like something that we want to get? And so we'll reach out the very next day to the communications guys in this case with the Yankees, and say, hey, this is the first time that ever happened. Could we get Aaron and Tyler's bats? And the Yankees, being great guys that they are, said yes, we'll do that. That was back in 2016. So that's so that's how we got that.
And if you were to ever sort of like peel back the onion on that weekend, I'm sure you know this, but the night before was Alex Rodriguez's last game.
You know, I probably knew that at one time too.
Yeah.
And I had forgotten that. So is that right? No kidding.
Yep. So they did the Alex Rodriguez sort of farewell ceremony on that Friday night. And then he retired, opened up a roster spot for Aaron Judge. It's like,
how about that?
I know. It's crazy, isn't it?
I didn't realize that that Aaron Judge took Alex Rodriguez's roster spot.
Yeah, I mean he was one of them because they obviously also called up Tyler Austin, so they made a couple of roster moves. But for all intents and purposes, he passed the baton, and so they were never actually officially teammates in the same dugout together.
How about that? That's sort of like when. Tommy Lasorda was a pitcher for the Brooklyn Dodgers, and a fella named Sandy Koufax got better, and that was why Tommy Lasorda had been on the team, and so they sent Tommy back down to the minors and brought up Sandy Koufax. So great stuff when you find out about all these kinds of transactions, and the inside baseball things can be boring sometimes, but sometimes they're just rich.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Well, I definitely appreciate you joining me. And if for everyone listening, if you have not checked out the YouTube series, Hall of Fame Connections, it's John sat down with Carlos Pena and Lindsey Barra, and Carlos and Lindsey host a lot of the episodes. It's really great stuff. Yep. Really interesting. Just, it's also a really cool aesthetic, like the set that you guys are on. I think it's all really well done. So nice job.
Well, thanks very much. Well, I'll tell you that the set that we're on is actually the locker room here in the Baseball Hall of Fame, where it's called Your Team Today. And you get a chance to come up here and you can see the history of every single one of the major league teams for the past 10 years reflected in artifacts. So that's not a set. That's the actual exhibit space that we just cordoned off and told people, sorry, you can't come in here for a little while because we're doing some filming.
Cool.
And so, come on up and get a chance to see that.
Are you guys expecting one of the biggest weekends of the year, of all time when Jeter is inducted in September?
You know something, we would have, and curse the pandemic. I have no idea what's going to be happening with COVID. Nobody knows what's going to be happening with COVID. Anybody who says that they do is lying. And we are, you know, it's going to be in the middle of the week now, not on a weekend. You know, numbers are going back up, which is, you know, COVID numbers are going back up, which is not a good thing. But, you know, I got my shot and I'm looking forward to some tens of thousands of people coming up to celebrate Derek Jeter on his day. And I think that it would, had it been a normal year last year, you know, the current record is like 65 or 70,000 or I don't remember, 75,000 with Cal Ripken and Tony Gwynn. And this would have, it would have blown it out of the water. And, you know, there's just no question about that. And it's still going to be marvelous. It's going to be great. I got to tell you something that's really crazy. And it's that not many years before I got here, back in the 1980s still, they were having 3,000, 5,000. They thought 5,000 people, 7,000 people was a big year coming to the Baseball Hall of Fame for induction week.
Isn't that amazing? And now you're talking about 60, 70,000 people. It's like a full, it's full football stadium worth of people just descending on Cooperstown. Yeah, it's one of those fun things each year when it was normally happening. I obviously never went, but I would always watch the ceremony and watch the speeches and everything. And it was always a fun event to watch.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, John. Well, thanks again so much for joining me. And once again, please go check out the Hall of Fame Connection series. They did a great job with it. And we'll talk to you soon. Thanks a lot.
Very good. Thanks very much. Thanks for inviting me anytime. Okay.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. Make sure you find us on iTunes and subscribe so you can get all new episodes directly onto your phone. If you do like the show, we'd love for you to take a minute and give us a 5-star rating and review in iTunes. It really helps us out and allows us to create more shows. We're on Twitter at Bronx Pinstripes and the same on Facebook. You can always find us there talking Yankee baseball. Thanks again, guys, for your support. Really appreciate it. And go Yankees.